and welcome to the Tech and Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louis, do you think we should sponsor the Tech on Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech on Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Okay, right. Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And this week we're joined with Cliff Gurdon, Managing Director, Eat IT, Drink IT.
That's the one.
Cliff, how are you?
I'm very good.
Everyone heard me make my famous faux pas at the start there.
No,
do many people do that?
They do, to be fair. And I do get asked if we make sandwiches because, you know, it gets eat it, drink it rather than eat IT, drink IT. But that was the whole point of the name. I didn't want a boring company name.
It's definitely not boring.
Excellent.
And you've come down here today from Yorkshire, Wakefield, is it?
Yeah, so I'm personally based in Wakefield and our support team is all based in Leeds. But we cover the whole of the UK, so we've got engineers across the UK. But if we're doing anything that needs my attention or anything that's more serious or a survey or whatever it might be, I find myself down here in London quite a lot.
And it's an early start for you, were telling me. What time are you on
about
that horrible
3 o'clock
road?
We left for the M1 this morning. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
when the real people roads. Work, right?
Yeah, well, quite. Exactly.
And yeah. you're off somewhere after this, right?
We're off to Duke's Meadows, which is a tennis club, golf club and indoor skiing club as well.
Wow.
And famously where they film The Taskmaster.
Very cool.
So there you go.
So who said IT's boring?
Oh, well, quite.
It's not boring, is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, sometimes I wish it was a little bit more boring, but there you go.
And we were chatting just before, actually, about how it all started.
Absolutely.
Tell us that story, because it's quite interesting.
Okay, so formally, the company started in 2015, but I always actually say it started back in sort of 2002. I was drinking in Oporto, which is an amazing bar
Oporto.
In Leeds.
Oh, my God, on Call Lane?
On Call Lane.
I went to uni at Leeds, so I know Oporto very well.
There you go.
Great pub.
So, and sandwiched between two brilliant bars as well. You've got Jake's Bar.
Yeah.
And you've got Neon Cactus on the other side. We look after all those guys. So
and
you
show
go.
How good they are. Are they still there?
They are absolutely still there.
Wow.
And very, very strong. And they've actually got a new place over the road, which is called, they're going to catch me out now, Power Corruption and Lies.
Wow.
Which is
sounds like I should be in there.
Disco with Japanese-themed tapas.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Obviously thought
it
up
works.
As well at
go
3 in
it.
The morning. Yeah,
exactly.
But Oporto, I mean, anyone who's not from Leeds, that area is fantastic for a night out.
It's an amazing place to be, and anyone who's ever studied anything in Leeds, you know, even if it's attended some sort of alcohol anonymous meeting, has been to Call Lane. So there I was, 2002, I'd had way too many to drink in Oporto, and the owner came out, Mr. Paul Lane,
yes,
and said, you know, this computer, I won't repeat word for word, and feeling rather bullish, I said, oh, I can fix that, not a problem, let me have a look. So went downstairs, fixed it, came back up, and much to my amazement, he said, well, what do I owe you? You know, you need to send me an invoice. And I suddenly thought, well, this is great. You know, I can go down to Call Lane, fix a few computers.
Get drunk and start fixing computers.
Quite. And that was what I thought IT was all about. Basically, as the years progressed, I was helping Paul more and more, and I was helping people that Paul had put me in touch with and so on. And we got to 2015, and he basically said, Cliff, you need to start a business. You know, you need to do this properly. Stop messing around. Get on with it. And took a bit of a plunge and haven't looked back. Absolutely amazing experience, working with hospitality companies all across the UK.
It's amazing. And I love those stories because people really never really know until you dig a bit. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, if anyone had said to me, Cliff, within 4 years you'll have an office in Leeds, you'll have 8 employees, you know, looking at you for ideas and payslips and all that sort of things, I'd have said, no, that's absolutely not going to happen. It did. I'm really grateful it did. Every day is a school day. most of the people who work for me have been in hospitality. They understand hospitality. And I'm quite keen for them to have done that as
Yeah, that optics really nice, isn't it, to be able to understand those pain points of people like Paul, who, you know, who have built businesses from scratch and have gone through all that pain as well. And what was your background before 2002?
Oh, well, I mean, here come the boring details. So I was actually a music student in Leeds. Yeah, so I was a professional singer growing up.
I should, but I won't.
It's one of those names, if you Google it, there's no way you can make this stuff up. But I think my most famous moment was singing in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Really?
I'm
not going to make you sing, I promise.
Don't.
But what kind of, are you like an operatic singer or?
Yeah, so it was a classical singer. I was a chorister in my earlier years, and it was interesting. Did some work with Gabriel Yared at Lansdowne Recording Studios, and
this world is mad. How the hell are you
crazy,
doing this?
Isn't it? I know.
And
quite.
Did you have any technical? Was it something you were interested in, or?
So the truth be told, you know, the music thing was all about my mum. That's what she wanted me. That's why my name is Clifford, because that was obviously the way that they settled on Clifford, was that my mum wanted to call me after Cliff Richard.
Oh, dear.
My dad took that as a win. Clearly didn't realise everyone was going to call me Cliff anyway. So I think the music thing was her dream for me.
Right, okay.
In my mind, it was always about the IT. So I studied music production because obviously that combined the two things.
Yes, you got to do both then.
Exactly. When your heart's in something, it's in something. You can't break away from it. So, very quickly ended up going into IT after uni and...
And the rest is history.
Absolutely, but still try and keep in touch with my musical roots.
I'm sure you cover a breadth of services.
We do.
But I suppose if you could give me your best pitch, I suppose, about what you guys do. What do you help people with?
So we are a one-stop shop for hospitality. We can do as little or as much as you would like us to do. So some of our customers, we do absolutely everything. So that's providing the broadband, CCTV, door access, tills, Wi-Fi, apps, EPOS, you name it. The real benefit to that is they've got one phone number. They've got one technical team they talk to. And I'm sure anyone who's worked in hospitality will be well aware of how things technically can go wrong. You get pointed from pillar to post, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not your card machines, it's your broadband. It's not your broadband, it's your CCTV. It's not that, it's this. With us, of course, you don't get that experience because it's all with us.
So is it your own pods, or like, is it, or are you?
So we're a reseller for ICR Touch.
Okay.
But we've done some really clever stuff with it. So I've got lots of very, very clever guys working for me. Some of which, of course, their speciality is more in kind of the development side of things.
Yeah.
So we've done some things with ICR Touch that other providers can't do. And one of those things is, as we've just launched, the no-till EPOS solution.
Okay, that sounds good.
Absolutely. So one of the questions I get asked all the time, especially here in London where rents are exceptionally high, is do I really need that many tills? Or can I lose that till because I can put another table there? That's another two or three covers, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now the answer is you don't need any tills at all. So we are using the Dojo card machines.
Yep.
We've got the ICR Touch software.
Dojo Pocket or the...
Either. They will both work. So you can have the Dojo Pocket, which is the new one without the printer, which everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah.
Or the old-fashioned one with the printer, that's absolutely fine. I mean, obviously, the benefit with the printer, of course, is you can then print the full bill at the table.
Yeah.
And this is where the no-till part comes in. So basically, you know, you give one of your colleagues a Dojo, and they can do absolutely everything with that device at the table. They can place the order, they can amend an order, they can print the bill, they can take payment, they can do split table, they can do absolutely everything you can do with a till. They can do it at the table.
So you're giving back square footage to the operators, basically.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about.
I mean, I used to, when at college, as we were growing very quickly when I was there, and I opened actually Greek Street in Leeds. I think Greek Street was it? No.
Greek Street was there in Akpars on there. And
I opened the Ask on Greek Street back in the day when you were probably at uni, actually.
Yes,
I opened the Ask on Greek Street.
Yeah.
But that building a restaurant or building a floor plan for a restaurant was always built around the terminals,
absolutely.
Right? That's how we used to do it.
Absolutely.
We used to go, right, this one, dummy waiter here, dummy waiter there. It's not news to you, but it used to be the design of a restaurant. It was the blueprint.
That's right.
And what you're saying is that we can kind of finally get away from that place where all of the girls and boys stand and queue in a weird way in the middle of a restaurant.
You know, I was speaking to a customer the other day, and he runs a very successful restaurant in Leeds called Bison.
I know it.
And there we are. And he was explaining to me that he sometimes gets tables of 18 that want to split the bill between themselves.
Of course.
And the only way he can do that at the moment on his current solution is to pick them all up, take them physically to the till, and go through it step by step.
So bad.
I know, it almost sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, we are in the process of putting the Dojo solution in there now, and that is going to remove that
it's
requirement.
It's mad. And customers will do it as well, right?
Absolutely.
You see, like, hen parties, stag do's, they can, you know, big birthday celebrations, they kind of like, okay, here's my my bit here. I was just, and in, when you rise above it, look down, like, this is madness.
Absolutely.
It's 2023.
Yeah, no. So, you know, we're really, really keen to talk to people who are looking to maximize their floor space. You know, adding headcount obviously is naturally something you
it's
want to do.
The Holy Grail.
Absolutely. But we're really, really keen as well to talk to people who are perhaps struggling with the number of plugins and sort of third-party apps and things that they're combining. All these things on the market are fantastic, but of course that you get points of failure, and that's the real issue. With ICR Touch, everything is built in at one solution level. So instead of you thinking, crikey, okay, my terminals are with this provider, my card machines are with this provider, we've got some kiosks there with another provider, it's just a recipe for something to go wrong, isn't it? We can actually help bring all of that together in one solution that works.
And I think that's easy to support. It's a conversation we have a lot on the podcast about managing integration, around do we go best in class or do we go all in one? You know, sure. Is that constant? Sure. And I think there's probably not I don't know is the definitive answer, but I've spoken to a lot of operators recently because we gather, we have a type form they fill out for their own tech survey, okay. And they kind of tell us what the stack is, then we help match them with people in the marketplace.
Right.
And very much more recently than before, people are asking for kind of one stop or one place to kind of, because right. They're exasperated I'm talking about people with 30 sites or less.
Okay.
You know, people who have got no CTO, no sure. IT director, those sure. kind of people. Is that something you see as well, that those kind of people are quite forlorn with the tech they've got and how they need to kind of get themselves back out of it?
I've seen some horrendous, you know, situations. You know, we're dealing with a particular customer in Liverpool at the moment who have really been through a rough time. They've, you know, I don't want to say that they've been necessarily led up the wrong, you know, the wrong garden path, but frankly speaking, looking at some of the things they've been
they
absolutely have. And we've been able to go through all of that and break that down for them and say, okay, look, this is what we need to do and this is how we need to do it. And much to their astonishment, we're coming in substantially cheaper than, you know, what they've already been paying for. So actually, we're bringing in a better level of service. We're bringing in the latest technology and they're paying less. And that, for me, is what I want to achieve.
And cost and ease, I suppose,
sure.
or seamlessness of the system.
Sure.
Are they the two things that are kind of top of the operator's agenda when they're getting in touch?
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, I think probably the thing they're most keen for us to do is actually to go and meet them and try and find out what it is they're technically trying to achieve. And that's something, you know, I was talking at the beginning about bringing people into the business who have been in hospitality.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important. Because if you put, you know, I'm not knocking the average IT person, you know, not at all. I was working there for a very long time and there's some very, very clever people out there. But if you don't know the industry, how can you possibly go and advise someone what technology they need and how that technology should work and whether there should be a backup, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You're describing my job.
Right. So ultimately, yeah, we like to go and give that kind of, if you like, that sort of appraisal first to say, look, this is what you could do. This
yeah.
is what you've been told to do, but have you thought of it from this perspective as well? And let us give you some ideas.
That's a smart business model, because you can be consultative, obviously, and have that experience to be able to walk in their shoes or their
yep.
clogs, the
yep.
chef clogs.
Yeah.
And then, but also you have your own product to offer on the basis of behind that.
That's exactly it. And,
yeah.
and in terms of support, a lot of standard IT support companies that are out there are Monday to Friday 9 to 5. They don't necessarily understand that hospitality works outside those hours.
Madness,
so
isn't it?
our support model is built for hospitality. Of course it is. That's what we specialise in. But again, we're really, really good at putting the right solutions in, cost-effective solutions, but the right solutions that work well, so that actually you're not having to call support at 10 o'clock in the evening, because let's be honest, if
yeah.
you are, something's really, really wrong.
No, I think support's right up there now in terms of, you know, if you look at features and functionality, I actually think support is slowly reaching to the top of those things that people want.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
if it breaks, I need to speak to you.
Yes.
And tech does break, right?
And you need someone that you speak to once and
yeah.
it gets resolved. That's the really the most important
not
thing.
Not raise a ticket and then we'll call you back in tomorrow.
That's the problem with segregated support. So if
yeah.
you're ringing someone for your EPOS support, then you're ringing someone else because you've got a broadband problem, then you're ringing someone else because they provided your card terminals. It can literally wipe out a whole member of staff for an entire shift, just being a game of tennis, basically.
I can't remember who it was I was talking to. So an operator was telling me that if they lose a till
mm-hmm.
on a Friday night for an hour or more, I can't remember, but the number is insane, the cash number they lose in terms of not just in terms of, as you say, operational time and someone being stuck trying to fix that problem, but also through lost payments, through card machines
absolutely.
Not integrating or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. It's a conversation I have nearly every single day. So I mean, if you look at broadband connectivity in the UK, it's pretty appalling.
Yes.
We are definitely a third world country in terms of broadband.
We really are. It's embarrassing.
It's absolutely awful. So one of the things that we always talk to customers about are things like lease lines. And often, you know, the response we get when we say a lease line is, say, £300 a month, people nearly fall off the chair. You know, well, my broadband at home is 30 quid. How on earth can it be that much different? What you're paying for is that dedicated support and that four-hour response time in terms of a fix. And what I say to customers is, £300 a month is not cheap. There's no doubt about it. But if your site was down, like you just said there, for an hour on a Friday night, that £300 a month you're paying is going to pale into complete insignificance.
And it knocks into everything, right? So although you might fix that problem in an hour, that customer you peed off in that 60 minutes is probably not coming back. They're probably going to tell their mate that it was rubbish as well. Absolutely. And then all of a sudden you've got this ripple effect just from your Wi-Fi till whatever it might be going down.
Absolutely. So there was a big survey done in Liverpool a couple of years ago looking at Freshers Week and looking at the...
I wonder where you're going with this.
I know. Absolutely. I don't know what the rating is of the podcast, but we're about to find out. So they did a survey where they spoke to the students and they said, you know, of all the places you went in Freshers Week, are those the places that you continue to go back to throughout the academic year? And what was really interesting was, of course, it was all based about their experience.
Yeah.
You know, if they had a bad experience in that bar, that club, whatever, in that first week, it's just somewhere they don't go anymore. Now, that bad experience might be because they couldn't pay.
Yeah.
Or the card machines weren't working. Yeah. Or whatever it might be. So we get it. You know, we understand the reputational damage of something like that, like you just said, can cost them a customer on that night and then the following week and the following month and potentially forever. So it's really about making sure your technology is complementing your experience that you've built in your business.
And I think it's really interesting from your point of view, for if I was a customer coming in, if I've got all this, I've already got my existing infrastructure, right, and I'm not happy with my solution or one bit's not working, what is the best process? I'm sure you're going to say, call me. What is the best process, I suppose, to kind of alleviate myself and get myself on the road to recovery, tech recovery, as it would be?
So I think really what you need to do is you need to get someone in from a consultative perspective to actually have a look at everything you're doing and work out where your pain points are.
Yeah.
Anyone who comes into you and tells you need to replace everything is a salesperson. So don't buy them lunch and send them on their way. What anyone who knows IT knows that any piece of equipment doesn't necessarily need to be replaced or doesn't necessarily, you know, mean it's the wrong thing.
You're talking about hardware and software there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So obviously in some cases it is the wrong thing. Yeah. It's not going to work. But in many cases it can complement something else that will then get you working. So I'm very much a fan of coming into a business and saying, these are the things you need to do. Those things are absolutely fine. It's just that's not set up in the right way or that's not being monitored correctly or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be about ripping everything out and starting again. And that's not...
And I think that's the fear, isn't it? And I'm weirdly, I'm doing a lunch at Hawksmoor in Liverpool in a few weeks.
Right, okay.
Talking about automation of the people experience. So,
right, okay.
And there's 40 business owners coming from Liverpool. So all of these guys you're talking about who deal with tech themselves, there is no IT director or anything.
Nope.
And I always find it interesting that they definitely will have those problems. And they will definitely look at it and think,
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. We had a customer who was working with an IT firm that they'd been working with for 10 years, but they'd bought a connectivity solution from them, but that connectivity solution had absolutely no T's and C's attached to it.
Oh, God.
So they had no service level agreement on it, and it just transpired that it was the wrong solution
for
them.
But it's easy, right, isn't it? I mean, from an operator's point of view, you've got to see their point of view. It's so hard because... I always say POS isn't a problem until the day it's a problem.
Right.
So when I was an operator, like, my EPOS was just, I didn't even know what it was just there, just did its thing. But the minute it broke, change it.
Well, that's the other thing with POS, you've got to be so careful. So all of these POS companies, and many of them are very, very good, will come out and they'll tell you their system is better than everyone else on the market and it can do all of these amazing things. What they're not necessarily all great at doing is making sure you've actually got the infrastructure in your site to support that system.
To enable that system to be the best.
So very often we will get called into sites where someone has invested thousands and thousands of pounds in a new EPOS solution.
Yeah.
But every time the site gets busy or every time they're using all the tills or all it goes down.
Yeah.
And they're looking for an answer as to why. And what it boils down to is the network infrastructure they've got in place just isn't fit for purpose. There's actually nothing wrong with the EPOS system. It's just that when the EPOS system was sold to them, no one actually said, can we come and have a look at what kit you've got and is it actually going to work?
And that's that adage, right? That I talk about this a lot on the podcast. People get bored of me saying it, but the salesperson has a job to do, right? They have to sell their product.
Absolutely.
And the operator has a problem to fix. They've got to fix that problem. And somehow... they seem to connect at some point, and it goes...
Or not.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So the sale will happen regardless.
Absolutely.
And, you know, salesperson's fine, they're on to the next one, and operator's stuck. Yes. And that's where they call you.
So one of the things we've really, really specialised in at Eat It Drink It is the Wi-Fi side of things.
Right.
So everyone thinks they know Wi-Fi. They basically think if you can get a signal, you've got Wi-Fi. Don't get me wrong, you're 20% there. Yeah. Absolutely. What people don't understand, though, is the technicalities of Wi-Fi and how, in terms of things like capacity.
Yeah, load.
And the fact that humans are actually some of the best Wi-Fi killers. We're full of water. You know, water kills Wi-Fi. So, yeah, when you've got a venue that's empty and you do a speed test on your Wi-Fi, it probably looks absolutely fantastic. But when you've got 200 covers in there, you might find it's not quite as good. Bear in mind, they've also probably got 100 devices now on the Wi-Fi that weren't there before and all the rest of it. So we're really good at showing that issue and showing where those things are going wrong and then putting the right solution in place.
And what is the solution to help? Because that's the connectivity problem comes up a lot, right?
Absolutely.
Nearly every part, especially with the operator guys I talk to, they always say the same thing, that actually, because connectivity is everything, right? Without that, it doesn't matter what you buy.
That's just it. And every single solution you buy on the market is going to need some technology to work. So what we basically do is we go and we'll do a Wi-Fi survey, and what we will establish is what equipment's already there, if any, and what is that equipment actually capable of? So every single bit of Wi-Fi technology on the market will tell you what an access point or a transmitter, if you will, is capable of doing.
Right.
But it's amazing how many people don't ever read it. It's boring, right? I mean, you know, why do I read it?
I'm already
bored,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we will go and look at that equipment and we'll say, well, there's your problem. It's only capable of serving 30 devices simultaneously and you've only got two of them. So as soon as you go above 60 devices, that's where your problem is.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got access to some really, really clever kit, but I don't want people to be thinking that that's very, very expensive kit. It isn't. We have sourced some suppliers who are able to provide some absolutely fantastic performance equipment, and we're not talking about Cisco and Meraki are going to cost you a couple of grand a year just to license it. That's ridiculous. You know, we're talking about equipment that just works, does its job, monitored by ourselves, kept up to date by ourselves, spec'd correctly. Get rid of the headache.
And you're using, I think what's really nice is you're already working, I mean, I'll go back to a porter, right? You're already using brands like that actually are the essence of hospitality. Everybody starts at one.
Absolutely.
And I think the real struggle for me, that are the most of the people I speak to, are that 1 to 10, 1 to 20.
Yes.
And I guess you've got a lot of user cases in your background now that you can say, look, we've been there, done this.
Absolutely. So I'm still really passionate about our independence. You know, we still look after probably 30 plus independent bars and restaurants.
Yeah.
And we're passionate about that because those guys, like you say, they're the... careful, I suppose. They are the real hospitality. You know, that's where you get looked after.
Yeah, but it is where they start, right? Everyone has to start one.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Apart from McDonald's.
Quite, yeah. Well, depending which film you watch, we don't know how that started. But I mean, basically, you know, I'm really, really keen that we give the same level of support to an independent as we do to a larger customer who might have 5, 10, 20 sites, you know, because for me, it's all about making sure that an independent can serve the customer just as easily and just as well as someone who's got 20 plus sites. You know, that's really, really important because to them it's critical. Their reputation is everything. That's the reason people would come back. And we talked about reputation earlier on because of technology and all that sort of stuff. So that to me is really,
well,
really
important.
That's
how you've built your business, right? Because like right back to a porter at the start, if you've only done a good job there, even though you might have had a skinful.
We don't do that anymore, by the way.
Is that like a thing?
it depends.
But if you hadn't done that right, that's what leads the next one, right?
Absolutely. So I mean, I think the thing for me is the right technology, at the right price point, installed in the right way, but then supported correctly.
Yeah.
And if I think back to some of the people that I started with back in 2015, for instance, who I thought were just going to be one-site independents, little did I know that they had a big plan to chain out. And I'm obviously superbly grateful that they have, and they've obviously loved everything we've done because they've taken us along on that journey.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose there is a part of me that treats every single new customer as this potentially could be, you know, the next McDonald's, exactly. Why shouldn't they be? That's my approach, and we're really, really passionate about what we do. You know,
no, I love that. It comes across in spades as well. It really does. We've never met, and I'm already like thinking, yeah, let's go. Where are we going? Let's go. I'll come see you next time and help you.
Basically, if we can't do something, we're very honest. We'll say that's beyond us. But in all honesty, because we are so passionate about things, we actually quite enjoy the challenge. And we had someone who came into the office yesterday. We've got a demo site in Leeds. They came in and, you know, they laid the gauntlet down on something that we'd never thought of before. And 24 hours later, we've got a solution, you know, because one of my engineers, Mark, who's just passionate about EPOS,
does
has
Mark
just spent
sleep?
All night. Well, I don't think so. And obviously, I'm not allowed to answer that question from an HR perspective. But, you know, this is how much we care about the things that customers bring to us. And bring on the challenge. You know, if you want to try and challenge, just go for it.
I mean, I'm watching my time. I need to be careful, but you're interesting. But on the new product side, you spoke about the tillless solution.
Yes.
What, have you got anything else coming out?
Yeah. So we're working on a collaboration with another. Another provider. I've got to be really careful I tell you about this, actually, because I've signed my life away in NDAs and so on and so forth. But what we want to do, I'm sure people who listen to the podcast will be aware of things like Deliverent and so on and so forth.
I used to work for them.
There we go. So you know, great model, great idea, but price-wise, quite inhibitive to startups and so on and so forth. So we're looking for ways to certainly not tread on Deliverate's toes, but to help independents streamline what is becoming a lifeline in terms of revenue in the takeaway market without it absolutely costing
them. It's
that
reach, isn't it? Being able to grab customers you wouldn't normally get.
Absolutely. And we're trying to do it in such a way that, you know, we can do it at a very, very fair, cost-effective solution for those independents without them sort of feeling like 20-30% of their margins disappearing out on every order, which is...
I mean, delivery is a magical business, a mystical business, I suppose.
Well,
I should say.
Well, that's the one thing for hospitality.
You work really
COVID,
hard, and there's no money.
No, right, exactly. You see the numbers, and then you suddenly realise that actually there was no margin in it. Yeah. I mean, it's the one thing that COVID gave hospitality, which wasn't a bad thing. And I think, you know, a lot of our customers are still really, really struggling to pick themselves up after COVID. So anything we can do to help on that front is what we're trying to do.
And when's that going to be live?
So hopefully within
24 hours, like you said.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, no, so we've got a couple of things to jump through in terms of, you know, legals and who will help us and so on and so forth. But hopefully within 3 months. I mean, if I could get it out before Christmas, we will do. But it's got to work. It's got to be right. And I want to do the testing on it, you know, because it's our reputation that's on the line if we get that wrong. So
it's exciting.
That's what we're looking at. It is exciting. Yeah, I mean, it goes back to our roots that we really just want to help people in hospitality. We're not just another IT firm saying, you know, oh, come and use us, we're better than everyone else or anything like that. We really want to.
No, and this is why we do this, right? Because I think it's really important that people listening hear the people behind the business.
Sure.
Because often you don't get the opportunity. I mean, you probably don't get the opportunity to do that all the time because you're called in something and they just say, fix it.
Right.
So sometimes it's quite nice to hear why. And because I think that's what hospitality is about. It's about letting people into your living room understanding what, you know, and giving them a great experience, which is kind of 90% of what you've talked about, which is really cool, right? That's how we should be. And if people are listening to this and they want to get hold of you and they want to get you out of bed at 3 a.m. every morning, how can they get hold of you?
So obviously check out our website. So it's eatitdrinkit.co.uk. Anyone who wants to email in info@eatitdrinkit.co.uk.
So you say eat it, drink it.
I know. Do you know what? Maybe we should get some sort of agreement on this. I suppose eat it,
drink it. Another NDA coming.
I don't want anyone to think there's any dots in there, I guess. That's probably why I'm saying eat it, drink it. So that's all one word. No hyphens, no dots, anything like that.
Great website as well.
Thank you very much. Or ultimately, you know, if they want to drop us a call.
Yeah.
0333 119 200.
Love that.
Give us a call, and we will do absolutely everything we can to help you out.
It's great, and you can find Eat It, Drink It on the marketplace on techontoast.community. And if you need to reach out to Cliff anyway and need to come through us, please do so, and we will put you in touch.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled to hear from you.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for coming in. I feel bad because I'm going to go and have a beer now.
And you're still working.
You've got to go fix things, but that's the nature of the beast.
It is.
So thank you very much for coming in, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.